Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is August 22nd, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 176, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, one of 1 million monkeys. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
At macobserver.com.
That never gets old.
Not for us.
And I guess in the end, that's what matters, right?
Do you like my title for this episode?
I do, and I just can't wait to hear what incredible prose you and your fellow monkeys have churned out.
Well, that's just the problem. I unfortunately may be one millionth of the number of monkeys necessary to get the project done.
But it's a start. So, you know, there's that.
Joke being that doing a writing project, and I'm a little behind on it.
You know, if you were more organized, maybe had a flowchart to help you get through the process.
should we post the flowchart in our story?
Oh, we can if you'd like. Sure.
Yeah. So in the show notes, we'll put will that show up in the show notes? In the story at the Mac Observer that announces this episode, we'll have the flow chart that I put together of my workflow for this writing project I'm doing.
And it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I think it's more sad, Jeff.
You know,
in part because it's accurate.
Well, okay, see, I was trying to offer you positive encouragement.
Yeah, I know you were. You're good that way. You're good that way. But we have an interesting show. We have some good topics to talk about, and why don't we get to it?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear how this whole thing comes out. The rumor mill says Apple is working on a mini iPad. The RIAA thinks you need to listen to FM radio on your iPhone. And Asus Tech blames Apple's iPad for its slow netbook sales.
A new rumor making the rounds is that Apple is working on a 7-inch iPad. And that rumor got a boost this week when a Taiwan-based newspaper published a story that not only said such a device was in the works, but it named names of companies that supposedly have contracts to make the darn things. And we know what you're thinking. You're thinking this was DigiTimes, right? Well, they've already done a story about a 7-inch iPad. This latest piece comes from the Economic Daily News. It's a different Taiwan newspaper. But they do have the same access to the same OEMs who can't seem to keep a corporate secret to save their lives.
Those poor guys.
In any event, those poor guys. Because, you know, or at least save their corporate lives. Yeah. In any event, the newspaper said that Apple was making this smaller iPad that it would weigh some 500 grams. The current one weighs 700 grams. And that it would have the same IPS switching display the current model uses, whereas DigiTimes had reported that it would feature an OLED display. Lastly, the newspaper said it would come out as early as December of this year, which, you know, does run contrary to Apple's annual rev cycle for its other iOS devices. Now, Jeff and I are not holding our breaths on this one. We thought about it. There was a debate. Should we hold our breaths until this happened?
And I said no.
Yeah, and Jeff put his foot down. But the Taiwan, and that's because, I should say, the Taiwan press has a very mixed track record even on these kinds of leaks. But this does make two such newspapers that say such a device is coming.
And the RIAA, in its infinite wisdom, is proposing that Congress force handheld electronic makers to include FM radio receivers in their products because they think consumers need more choices when listening to music. The proposal would require all portable media players and cell phones sold in the U.S., which does include the iPhone, to include an FM radio chip, regardless of whether or not the manufacturers or consumers were interested in having them installed. Music First, which includes the RIAA as a member, sees the forced inclusion of FM receiver chips as an important move for the broadcast radio industry. The organization unsurprisingly said that it, quote, likes FM chips and cell phones, PDAs, etc. It gives the consumers access to more music choices, unquote. The group even tossed out the idea that the FM receivers are important for national security. Consumer Electronics Association President Gary Shapiro sees mandated radio receivers differently. He said, quote, the backroom scheme of the National Association of Broadcasters and RIAA to have Congress mandate broadcast radios and portable devices, including mobile phones, is the height of absurdity. Unquote.
Interesting. Asus Tech computer CEO Jerry Shin told investors Friday that his company sold fewer netbooks than expected during the company's second quarter, and he blamed the success of the iPad for that shortfall. Comments came during a conference with investors in Taipei. Several U.S. analysts have said they expect the iPad to eat into sales of netbooks, but this marks the first time we've seen a PC manufacturer show falling sales and specifically cite Apple's device as the reason. Asus Tech makes a variety of computers and notebooks under the EPC name and is planning on releasing iPad tablets starting in October of this year. And that's E with three E's.
Why do people let us on the air?
I don't know. Well, that sound means that it's time for the Context Machine within the Context Machine. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. And where do you want to start today?
Oh, let's see. Do you want to talk about the new iPad? Or, excuse me, the new iPad rumor?
Sure. Let's why not?
All right.
What do you think? Is it going to happen?
No. No, it's the wrong size.
So sure.
Oh, good. We have controversy.
We do.
Excellent. Okay. See, I don't think it's going to happen because it's the wrong time and it's a size that doesn't fit well in Apple's product lineup. We already have the iPod Touch, which fits in your pocket and has the same size display that the iPhone has. And then we have the iPad, does not fit in your pocket, has a much larger display, and has its own interface style. If we put something in between, now we have something that has a cramped screen compared to what the current iPad has, and we now have a situation where developers have to come up with yet another interface size.
But wait. There's less. The DigiTime story that started this off said it would have. Now they got this. Okay, so the DigiTime story said that it was going to be a 7-inch iPad, that it was going to use a new processor, which rings true, and that it would use an OLED display, which is just ridiculous because why Apple would go to OLED when they're using the Retina display in their iPhone and they're using this IPS switching display on the iPad, that part to me just is whacked.
And the cost would be too much, I think.
Yeah, probably. And I mean, there's not enough. They've had great success with what they're doing now. And but the other thing that the DigiTime said is that it would have the same resolution as the current device, which to me suggests that Apple has decided to replace the 9.7-inch model with the 7-inch model, not augment it.
Really?
Well,
no
okay.
Way.
No, hold on. No.
Okay.
I don't necessarily buy into that. But what I mean is that if they're going to release a smaller model, if they're going, so I'll put emphasis on that, or some emphasis even, if they're going to do a smaller model with the same resolution, to me that suggests that they're changing the form factor.
I can't picture Apple taking the current iPad, making it smaller, and then ditching the 9.7-inch screen. I think they put a lot of work into getting this size where it is, a lot of research and making sure they had the right size. And I just don't see them ditching the 9.7-inch display.
I don't either. I just had a thought.
Oh, I can't wait.
I just had a thought. You know that one of the things we didn't talk about in the intro but did happen was the ITV story. That Apple's going to change the name of the Apple TV to the ITV, which is, of course, what it was called originally, and they had to change it away because there is an existing cable network.
In the UK.
In the UK called?
ITV.
Exactly. And now, I actually put a lot of credence in that particular rumor. So they're going to do a new device. It's going to be iOS-based, and it's going to basically be a completely new approach to the set-top box from Apple, right? So one of the stories that is out there is that the iPad would serve as an interface for this ITV.
Which seems totally plausible. Even if Apple doesn't come up with a new Apple TV replacement, having an iPad as interface control totally makes sense because we can already do that with the iPhone and iPod Touch.
Right. And, I mean, because it's got to be, you know, the iOS is a touchscreen interface. So if you're not using something like the iPad or iPhone to control it, you need to be using something like the Magic Trackpad.
Yes, which I've heard some people talk about, oh, yeah, you could use Magic Trackpad to control Apple TV. But that just seems a little awkward to me.
But one could do it, and it wouldn't. You know, but one
you could
do
totally
it, right?
Do it. You're absolutely right. But it doesn't have that Apple elegance.
So what if Apple were to make a 7-inch iPad remote for the Apple TV, for the ITV? You like that one, don't you?
I'm chewing on it. And part of me says, okay, that's kind of clever and kind of interesting. But then there's another part of me going, why? I mean, if you already have a 10-inch iPad.
But what if they could price it? What if they could price it cheaper? Like, I mean, it's not actually going to be a full iPad.
Well, no. No, I'm not buying it.
Oh, I thought you liked it. I thought you were with me here.
Well, you know, it sounds cool, but I'm just not seeing how it would fit into the Apple thing. I mean, we already have the iPod Touch, and you can put the whole touch interface controls on that. We already have that. And we have the iPad. And so you can build...
I'm with you there. And I'll be honest. I know that I said I'm not so sure when we started talking about this story. I'm not so sure that it's bunk. My problem with not dismissing it entirely is not because I'm buying into the notion of what they're talking about. It's just that while the Taiwan newspapers have a mixed track record, the reality is that the stories that have ended up showing up repeatedly have ended up being true. Because there's too many fingers in the pie.
Yeah, well, and in this case, we do have two different Taiwanese news sources saying the same thing, and yes, they're not citing each other. So I have to give you that one. We do have multiple sources that are talking about this now. It's just one of those things, though, that I'm just having a hard time accepting. It feels like there's something missing in this whole equation, which is very possible because Apple's good at not telling us stuff. They don't want us to know ahead of time. It feels like there's something missing that would make the whole thing fit together in a way that
clicks. I feel the same way, Jeff. That's kind of why when this idea popped into my head about the ITV, that I went ahead and said it because folks, a lot of things pop into my head when we do these shows.
Believe it or not, sometimes they're actually relevant to the conversation.
They are sometimes, and believe it or not, I actually do have a filter. Which you know should frighten you, I suppose. But my point is that that could be a reason for Apple actually making a 7-inch device, and would be to position it as an accessory for the ITV, and in which case it would not be a fully functional iPad.
Okay, so now I'm going to throw something else into the mix. You remember a while ago, Apple applied for a patent where you had a touch interface where the interface could actually change shape. And so you could have buttons rise up and the iPad circle thing, or excuse me, iPod circle click wheel thing. You could make something like that appear. How about a 7-inch touch interface that can do all of that and becomes the buttons that you need when you need it? And maybe it's designed so that you can control more than just your Apple TV.
Like a universal remote.
Yeah, sort of like Apple's idea on a universal remote.
And that's all it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually what I was suggesting.
Okay.
I didn't say universal remote for sure.
And see, that's where you lost me. But you planted the seed because I ended up coming up with the idea independently. Oh my God, we have two independent sources now, me and you. It's true.
Yeah, it must be true. Yeah. So I can see I can see Apple making a dedicated, very limited function device for the ITV to control it. I do have a problem with Apple changing the form factor of the iPad. I certainly completely disregard the notion that they would replace the iPad in December.
That ain't
happening.
No, that's not happening. And even if they were to update the iPad ahead of or in time for the holiday buying season, it wouldn't be a major change. It'd be like, okay, here's the new capacity, or hey, we threw the camera in and that's it.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen. I mean, they're still struggling to make enough of these devices to fulfill demand as it is, and they're struggling with the iPhone to fulfill that demand. They're not making another major change before the end of the year.
They haven't even finished rolling these devices out in all the countries they want them
right. So we're not going to. So I mean, that part is I disregard. I can see this ITV being announced and shipping. Right, we're expecting a media event in September. Right.
Yeah, that's pretty much a given. Apple does their iPod event in September.
Right.
And there's no reason why they couldn't include Apple TV in that.
No, that's where they would do it. That's absolutely and positively where they would announce a device like that if they're going to do it this fall. And I can see that shipping in December. And I can see it shipping with this optional dedicated touch-based remote.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things that goes along with the whole ITV thing is the idea that you'll start being able to load iOS apps onto the device.
Right.
And I'm not buying into that because it takes the Apple TV from being a home entertainment living room appliance and then turns it into another computer just like not just like a Windows Media Center, but in the same vein, where you now have to spend a lot of time trying to manage applications.
See, okay, but my problem with the Windows Media Center has always been that that Microsoft was trying to give me this all-inclusive package that does TV the way they want me to do it. And I mean, that their approach with the Media Center has never really sat well with me. Now I know that some people like it, and the people who do like it a lot.
Yes.
So I'm fine with that.
Now I think a lot of the people that like that would, if they were into using Apple products for their mm-hmm. their home media centers, mm-hmm. would be the people that want to hook up, say, a Mac Mini to their television.
Maybe, but let me get back to my point, though.
Okay,
because the this kind of pertains to what we're talking. Well, this does pertain to what we're talking about. If Apple were to make the Apple TV an iOS device and give it access to the App Store, this could become the living room device that people actually, or that people can make into the device that they want.
So it stops being an appliance.
Well, more like that, you know, no one, I mean, okay, so going back to the media, Windows Media Center, that device, that whole concept, while it is not like been a sweeping sea change for Windows home use. It's, you know, there are people that like it, but there aren't, you know, it's not some kind of a wholesale move in the home to the media center. Are you with me here?
Oh yeah.
And you know, these sorts of attempts to bring TV and computers together have, you know, just a very, very mixed success. But if...
I think you're being far too generous.
Fair enough. But if Apple were to let us install apps on our home TV thing, then we can truly shape it the way we want it.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And that could be the key to actually making it a kind of a success. And that would also neatly explain why this 7-inch supposed iPad that we think, or that we're talking about now as maybe a universal remote, would have the same resolution as the
the current iPad,
right? Because it could use iPad apps on the TV. You'd want it to have the same resolution.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you want to avoid having your developers code for yet another size display, that totally makes sense to keep the resolution the same.
Right.
So now, whether or not something like this really happens, I'm sure this comes as a surprise to you, but I'm really skeptical on this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I am too. I'm skeptical. Skeptical.
Hello. you're skepticated?
I'm skepticated on the details of the story we've heard so far, but I think that where there is smoke, there is some kind of fire. I think that there is something brewing at Apple in Taiwan, in this case, that's involving some kind of 7-inch device. The mystery will be, I mean, not the, so the real mystery is in exactly what that 7-inch device is going to be, but I think that a 7-inch device of some sort exists, and that it exists outside of just Apple's labs, because you know that Apple, when Apple was working on the iPad, they probably made 7-inch devices, 8-inch devices, 12-inch devices, right?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, you know, so you know, this exists outside of the labs and has been taken to Taiwan one way or another. And it just remains to be seen the shape that it actually takes.
So, yeah, so whatever Apple eventually does, it will surprise me, because right now I'm just really not getting how the 7-inch iPad other than being not really an iPad, but just being a touch universal remote makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm going to look like a genius if that actually happens.
You are. And if it does actually happen, while you're looking like a genius, I'll look like the myopic guy that just couldn't see beyond what Apple already has on the market.
No. You gave credit to the possibility of it being a universal remote.
Yeah, I could potentially see that.
Yeah, so you'll look like the genius sidekick.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? That's better than being myopic boy.
Either way, I think I'm a jerk.
but you're our cute, cuddly jerk. So, you know, there's
That's good. All right. So I guess this kind of comes down to I think there's fire behind the smoke. We just don't know what kind of fire it is yet.
Yeah. And I'm being skeptical man on the whole thing.
Fair enough, myopic boy.
Jerk man.
Jerk man. Look, over at that desk. It's a whale. It's a beanbag chair. No, it's Jerk Man. And his sidekick, my epic boy.
So, this is what it's come to.
Yeah. Alrighty, so let's jump. I don't even remember
anything else we've talked about now.
Idiots. Well, no, I do, because I've got the idiots at the Recording Industry Association of America. Oh, I hate that organization.
They must be
the most concentrated group of music haters on the planet. You know, they just must hate music, must hate people enjoying music, must just, you know, hate people that play music, and, you know, they just must hate music to do all the stupid things they've done over the last 10 years.
You know, I sit back and wonder what a lot of these people can possibly be thinking, because so many of the decisions that they've tried to push through or policies they've been involved in do not seem to be designed to help the music industry grow. Mm-mm. And I'm looking at this mandated radio receiver in electronic devices proposal as another just completely off-the-wall RIAA thing. Now, I get that they're concerned that the commercial radio industry is suffering right now, but I don't see forced legislation. I don't see how this is going to improve radio.
It won't improve our music choices at all. What it will do is give a dying industry another shot in the arm. And it's corporate welfare at its finest. I think when Mr. Shapiro said that it was the height of absurdity, I think that he was being too kind, because I think it's obscene.
Yeah, it's, you know, if people were so desperate to have FM radio in all of their portable devices, mm-hmm. I'm thinking they would have let the companies know. And by now, we would have FM radios in pretty much everything.
Right. Yeah, Apple got a lot of as I spike a little bit, sorry about that. Apple got a lot of
how about flack?
Flack for not having a radio in the iPhone. But the reality is and the iPod, you know, both. And the reality is that those competitors that did include radio receivers, they didn't do all that well. You know, iPod and iPhone are still pretty much king. And you know, iPhone's competitors still don't include a radio receiver.
No, and the one iPod that comes with a radio receiver by default, the Nano, mm-hmm. I really don't know anyone with a Nano that uses it to listen to radio. Now, of course, I'm certain there are people out there that use the FM radio. But I honestly have never met anyone that uses the FM radio. And I've actually met some people that didn't know there was an FM radio in the current Nano. All they knew is that they could take videos.
Right. And the other obscene part of it is that including access to the crap known as American radio today would do nothing whatsoever to increase music choice, in that radio has been decreasing what it plays and the amount of variety and the diversity that radio plays, that, you know, that's been decreasing for the last couple of decades. So yeah. Actually the last, I don't know, probably longer than that, but so, you know, to hold up radio as being some kind of boon to consumers so that they can hear, have more choice, to me is, again, it's obscene.
You know, honestly, I cannot tell you the last time I listened to commercial radio. And I was probably on a road trip. And
yeah, sure.
And turned it on just for a change from what, from the handful of CDs or the whatever I had on my iPod.
Well, you know, and as much as I love music, the radio that I listen to the most is NPR. Because I'm an information junkie and an old man.
Okay. And I'm an information junkie as well. And apparently I'm now an old man too because I'm listening to NPR. Yeah, that's what I listen to in my car.
Well, Colorado has just a fantastic network of public radio stations.
Actually, we do. Colorado has an incredible public radio network, and it's
a network.
Yeah, it's awesome, and
it is great. When I drove through Colorado earlier this year, and the same thing when I drove through 2 or 3 years before that, I was just, you know, delighted with how I could go from you know, drive through the state and continue listening to a bunch of great content going from radio station to radio station.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And yeah, so I have this awesome multi-speaker subwoofer high-end stereo system in my car, NPR.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we're old. My grandfather listened to Paul Harvey. I could never understand it. It drove me nuts.
Well, that's different.
Well, no, but it's not. It's the same. It's that, you know, that's one of the things that generation did. And you know, now we're becoming old men. And so we want to listen to our news. Hey, all this music cavorting around on stage with long hair. I'm going to find out what's going on in the world.
You know, and here I was trying to make it sound a little better for us by saying, but that was different. And you completely shot that down. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Sorry, man.
And now get off my lawn.
So, you know what would increase music diversity or music choice for consumers would be every phone having access to streaming radio, the internet radio stations, because that's where the true choice is today.
You know, okay, I can totally see that because a lot of the streaming internet radio stations are offering diversity, unlike most commercial radio stations, which are going for lowest common denominator. And I totally understand why they would do that because they're trying to get the most
they're trying
out of their investment.
Trying to make a living in a world where fewer and fewer people are listening to radio. And internet radio stations can basically target niches.
Yes, that's why Pandora does so well.
Pandora and all the just the straight streaming.
Yeah, I actually do too. Listen to streaming out of iTunes. It's one of the things I use my Apple TV for, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
Yeah,
but this This whole little scheme that they want for the federal government to force these chips into all devices is pretty obscene. However, the one argument that they made that actually kind of resonated with me was the notion of national security, believe it or not.
And I know where you're going with this. There's the emergency broadcast network, and mm-hmm. so when there's local disasters, there's national emergencies, or even local emergencies, that network is used to broadcast information to people.
And that was set up at a time when everybody was listening to radio or watching TV. And now with less access to both and less emphasis on local TV stations, in particular in the TV realm, I think an argument can be made that every device having a radio could actually be important in the case of some kind of emergency. But even still, I think that it's a solution that only benefits radio stations. It's not really going to benefit consumers.
No, I don't see it as something that's going to help consumers. And the notion that we need access to the emergency broadcast network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will grant you that. That's a nice thing to have access to.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I'm in a situation where I'm thinking, holy crap, I need to see what's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have probably already accessed information from a lot of other sources, and I'm getting in my car, and I'm going to turn on the radio in the car. Yeah,
we will find a radio.
Yeah, finding a radio is not such a critical issue that I feel that I need to have someone mandate that I have a radio in all my iPods, in my iPhone, in my iPad. I'm just not seeing the need for that.
And since we're both NPR listeners, we probably both have three of the hand cranked radios are often used as incentives to contribute to your local stations.
Okay, now see, there you go, the hand crank radio. Now that's where they'll go next. The RIAA said, get something pushed through. We have to have FM radio chips in our phones. And then the Duracell Energizer conglomerate, whoever, the Battery Association of Greater Michigan, I don't know, will then push through legislation mandating that we have hand cranks on all of our cell phones so that we can keep the battery going so we can listen to the FM radio.
that would be the hand cranked generator association of Greater Michigan.
See, I mixed those guys up because they wear similar t-shirts.
Exactly. All right. Well, clearly we're not fans of this.
No
idea.
I can't wait for them to mandate that we have floppy drives installed on our smartphones.
Yeah, that's a pretty darn good analogy. That's a really good analogy. It would be similar to some kind of trade group wanting to there to be legislation for every computer, to be realistic, continue to have floppy drives because they feel like it gives people access to legacy data or some crap like that.
Yes. I'm shaking my head, and I'm telling you that because this is not a video podcast.
Yes, it's important.
Also, I feel compelled to tell you, Baby Bunny is dancing around outside my window, even as we record.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't been around much this season, but glad to see him out playing now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Alrighty, so you know who is not a Baby Bunny? Worst segue ever.
You've done worse, but...
Really? Really? I've done worse?
No.
That one's pretty bad.
That was the worst.
Well, let's talk about Citrix, our sponsor for this week.
Okay. That sounds... I'm sorry. I'm laughing at your segue.
I phoned that one in.
Yeah. Well, you could have radioed it in if you'd had an FM chip.
I know.
Yeah.
We'd do something
but
about
Citrix.
That. Citrix. Go to Assist Express.
Which is a great little product if you need to easily and securely get into a computer that's not in front of you. So think helping mom and dad and all those family members.
Not so much get into, but remotely access. Get Into makes it sound like you're going to hack it.
Yeah, there's no hacking here. This is friendly, loving remote access.
Yeah. Yeah, remotely supporting an employee's or a fellow employee's computer, or helping, like you said, your aunt or your mom, or your dad. We're not sexist.
No, dads need computer help too.
Yeah, and being able to do it remotely and securely and without like a bunch of hassle. That's the thing. They've made this really easy.
Yes, and secure. Because each time you connect, it's a new connection, so they have to approve your connection, and they don't have to install anything.
Right. So basically, if I'm going to access your computer, you get an email from me through the service, through GoToAssist Express.
Right. Then you just click that link.
It's beautiful. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. So really hassle-free. These guys, GoToAssist, the Citrix people have been making, GoToMeeting and this whole family of remote access and video products for a long time, and they really seem to grok it, and they're working on the Mac platform with this product, and we'd like you to check them out, and you can do it.
Yeah, they have a website set up just for us.
Just for us.
Yeah.
It's GoToAssist.com/machine for the Apple Context Machine.
Right. So hop on over.
Yeah, do that. You can get a 30-day free trial version and really check it out and support them because they're supporting us.
Cool.
Yipper. All right. Now, we have one more thing to talk about. That's the Asus Tech CEO blaming the iPad for falling netbook sales.
All right, so I just have to jump into the obvious question. Who thought EPC was a good product name?
That is such a good question. That is such a good question. EPC and iPad. Now, Asus Tech, they actually make Apple products too. They assemble some Apple products.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they don't name them.
That's a good point. Now, do you remember 2 years ago, netbook sales were just booming?
Right.
And Asus Tech actually kind of exploded into being one of the top manufacturers of PCs because of their netbooks. Just out of nowhere. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they just suddenly appeared, and they had a product just flying off the shelves.
Right, and they were making these cheap netbooks, and everybody was gobbling them up, and that was the time when I think it was, I can never remember which analyst it was, so I'm not going to name any names because I always get it wrong, but there was one analyst in particular that downgraded Apple because Apple didn't have, hadn't articulated a netbook strategy that wouldn't cannibalize MacBook sales.
And to me that shows the lack of understanding that analyst had. Because yes. Apple doesn't just jump into every market that everyone else is in.
Right. Yeah. And I had already explained how Apple was going to come out with what I was calling the iPod SuperTouch.
Yes, which Apple chose not to use that name and went with iPad instead.
They did, which was, I'll forgive them that particular oversight. But so if that analyst had just talked to me, I could have explained it to him.
Yeah, and you really did. You nailed it.
I did. But the point is that, netbooks were just like, oh, my God, this is what everybody's going to be doing. Everybody loves netbooks and blah, 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 and they're going to be great. And now we have analysts saying that netbooks were going to cannibalize, I'm sorry, that the iPad was going to cannibalize netbook sales. Although,
and that's like saying sharks cannibalize humans.
Yeah, that's the wrong, I don't know why they used that wording.
It's because they don't understand what it means.
that one. Exactly. And so the reality is that what they're saying is that the iPad was going to reduce netbook sales. And now, while analysts have been saying that, I think that it's really important that this is the first company that's up and admitted that to be the case.
Yeah, I think this actually helps support the notion that the whole netbook market is comprised of a series of compromises, because you had to give up screen size or storage space or keyboard size
or quality
to get the device at that smaller size and the price point that people wanted. And then the right. iPad comes along, which does away with so many of the compromises that people had to deal with netbooks, and then people buy it.
Yep.
And then sure enough, now we have a company coming out and saying, yeah, well, our sales are down because of the iPad. That's
significant.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah, it's certainly really interesting. I mean, I don't think that netbooks are going away. I don't think that tablets are going to suddenly, you know, make netbook the 2-year wonder. But I think that the shine is definitely worn off of that category.
Yeah. And there are some people where a netbook may very well be the right tool for whatever it is that they need to do.
Oh yeah.
And
especially people that want to run Linux, for one thing. Netbooks are a really good solution for that.
Sure.
People who who just can't get into typing on a touch screen. There are plenty of people that just are not happy doing that. Yeah, there's plenty of room for a company to sell netbooks, assuming they want to sell something off of which they make, you know, basically no money.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a time when I considered buying a netbook and either running Linux on it or hacking it to run Mac OS X.
Sure.
And ultimately didn't. And I'm glad I didn't, because the iPad came out. And what I was really waiting for, and I didn't realize it at the time, I was waiting for the iPad to come out, because it turns out that's exactly the right ultra-portable product for me.
Yeah, I really like the iPad.
Yeah.
I really do.
I'm looking forward to the day where I can actually go to conferences and expos with this instead of my MacBook Pro. Now, I don't expect that to happen right away, but I think the day will come where I can travel ultralight to shows.
Well, I think the next keynote I'm going to be covering is going to be with a netbook. I'm sorry. Good Lord. With the iPad.
Yeah. And that totally makes sense, because you have all the tools you need to be able to do that.
You know what I will not be using?
A netbook?
Nope. An iPad.
Oh man, I feel bad for these people.
You know, speaking, we didn't mention this, but this wasn't part of our planned podcast today, but this kind of ties into it. This LG guy who said that that they're making an Android tablet that's going to be more focused on creativity.
Oh right.
Creating content.
There we go. Yeah.
And my question is, where do you come up with that? How do you even come up with that kind of claim about your product? I mean, go over the story for us. let's tell people what he said.
I just love it when you get so tongue-tied that you can't hardly even speak. All right, so the deal is this guy claims that that they're going to create this tablet that is designed through whatever way they're going to design it, so that it will be a content creation device, unlike the iPad, which is a content consumption device. Now,
right.
The thing that gets me, and I can't remember who brought this point up, it actually might have been you during one of our morning meetings, that it's not the hardware that makes it a content creation or consumption device, it's the software.
It's the software and the interface.
Yes. So if you don't have the software that allows you to actually create whatever your content is, then it's not much of a content creation device.
Right. And Android does not have content creation software tools that come even close to what's available for iOS.
True. And I'm surprised at very pleasantly surprised at how much content creation I can actually do on my iPad.
Pages, I just recently started using Pages. And, oh my God, that is such a good piece of software for on the iPad.
Yes.
It's bloody amazing.
Yes, you can actually create professionally looking documents on your iPad.
Yeah.
And I use Numbers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done presentations for user groups with Keynote on the iPad.
Sure. 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 You know, and I mean, those three apps set the bar on what you can do. And as well as, by the way, you know, apps like OmniGraffle from the good people at the Omni Group.
Oh, that's a fantastic application.
Yeah, because they follow a lot of Apple conventions.
Yes, and they also get how interfaces need to work, so they've been able to come up with some awesome ideas for touch interfaces. I draw on my iPad all the time. And that sure seems like content creation to me.
Yeah, so this guy saying this, you know, and for him to say it when the comments came in the course of an interview with the Wall Street Journal about how LG is going to come back from getting their butts kicked and not really having much of a presence in the smartphone market.
You know, I think his comments are more posturing and rhetoric than actual product plans.
I either that or he's just repeating what he was told by his engineers,
either
or his marketing people or someone. Yeah. It's a pretty preposterous claim for them to make. I don't know. Maybe they could, and I hope that they do. I hope that they come up with something that makes me look like an idiot for saying all these things, because that will push Apple.
I think it would be really cool if they came up with something too, but I'm not looking to LG for that. I'm looking to HP.
Yeah. What if they released a tablet that, you know, is designed to work with an Android tablet that's designed to work with a keyboard and mouse, and they think that that's going to be the secret to content creation? I would disagree with that, by the way, with that being the secret to content creation on a tablet.
I'm totally with you on that.
But, I mean, that could actually be something. I mean, maybe that's what he's thinking. I don't know. I hope that they come up with something that blows us away, because that'll push Apple and that'll be great. And you're right. I'm still not expecting much of anything. I'm not expecting anyone to be able to do better than Apple. But if someone is, my money is also with HP.
Yeah, and I agree. I'd be surprised if HP outdid the iPad with whatever they come up with. But I have a feeling that whatever they do release will be something that's hopefully compelling enough that Apple says, yeah, we need to stay in top form. And we get this awesome competition and we get better products.
Yep. Let's hope. Alrighty. That seems like a covered topic.
I think so. Oh, hey, that's all our topics, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well then, that must mean that's where I say, if you have anything to comment on, add a question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Also, feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut. You can see all the weird stuff that happens in my head.
And you can follow me, sort of, at twitter.com/tmobrian, and that's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The Bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
These drops reminds me of my shame. On it still I cannot go. We're trapped by lies that we don't know. I can't see.